We have two scripture readings that I'm going to read for us this morning. In my opinion, the two most important scripture passages to read on this day. So the first one is in Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles or if you want to grab a Bible from the pew in front of you, I invite you to turn with me there. I know it's always on the screen, but I always find that opening up and holding a Bible in your hand is always better. In fact, I've been tempted to not even put it on the screen to force you guys to bring your Bibles and open up. All right. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. I'm reading from the New International Version. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there is no guest room available for them. Then turning over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. This is the word of God for the people of God today.
Thanks be to God.
Well, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Today we celebrate one of the most miraculous events that has ever taken place in history. In fact, I think it's only surpassed by one miracle ever, and we'll celebrate that in a few months. Today we celebrate the day that the God of all the universe stepped into his own creation and was born of a young virgin girl in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. Today is the start of the great gospel story, which will, in just a couple of months, lead us to the cross of salvation and the tomb of resurrection. Throughout this Advent season, we've been walking through the story leading up to today, looking at the various characters in the story and how the miracle of the first Christmas changed their lives. From the old priest and his wife, whose prayers were finally answered at the birth of their son, to a young man and his betrothed wife, whose plans for the future had to be put on hold by a miraculous pregnancy. And finally, last night, to the lowly shepherds who received the glorious announcement that a Savior had been born for them that day. A child had been born who was Christ the Lord. And now, it's Christmas morning. And we come at last to the star of the show, so to speak. The one who the entire story is all about. Of course, that's Jesus. Today we come to the precious child who was laid in a simple manger and who would grow up to be the Savior of the world. Before he was born as a helpless baby, however, and keep in mind, he was a true baby. He did everything that babies do. He cried. He needed to be fed. He did other things. He was a baby. But before he was born as a helpless baby, the Apostle John begins his gospel not with the message of the baby, but with who Jesus is. Before he was born in that manger, Jesus was. He was there in the beginning. And John begins not with the baby in the manger like Matthew and Luke do, Matthew in sort of a roundabout way, but rather with the divine second person of the Trinity, who was there at the very beginning of the world, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. You hear those words. Jesus Christ himself was and is the Creator. He was there in the very beginning. If you go all the way back to Genesis, it starts with words in the beginning. God. Well, that God that we read about in Genesis is the same God who we read about throughout all of the Scriptures. The eternal, triune, one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there at the very beginning. The writer of Genesis himself gives us the picture of two of the three, which says the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the water. But then here in the Gospel of John, it's revealed to us that the second person of the Trinity did not just come into existence at the Holy Conception, but rather he was there from the beginning. From the beginning of the world. He was the very agent of creation. He was there before time began. Jesus was there. Jesus was there at the creation of the world and played an active role in that creation. Along with the Father who spoke and the Spirit who moved, the Son was an agent, was the agent of creation. He was the Word. The Apostle John tells us that everything that has been made, you can add everything that ever will be made, was made through him. He was there when Adam and Eve were first formed. He walked in the garden with them in the cool of the evening. He walked closely with Enoch and with Noah. He ate with Abraham. He wrestled with Jacob. He spoke to Moses and the elders. He fought alongside Joshua. He rescued Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. And even a pagan king recognized who that fourth person was. Fire. And now, in the fullness of time, he humbled himself. He stepped into time and space, into the very creation he had formed with his own hands. Stepped down from his heavenly throne and entered into a created woman's womb. A woman who the Scriptures say he knew in the secret quiet place. He helped knit her together in her mother's womb, and now he stepped into her womb. He became a part of creation. He became the first and the last incarnate being, both fully human and fully divine. God of all the universe was born as a helpless baby, laying aside his great wisdom and power and knowledge to become a human baby who needed to be fed, cared for, and taught as he grew to become the man who would save the whole world from its sin. Far too often, I think we take for granted who exactly it is that's born in the stable of Bethlehem all those years ago. We see the baby in the manger, and we celebrate the one who would grow up to be the Messiah. We come to Christmas, we celebrate the baby. Yay! Then we get to Easter, and we seem to forget that the Messiah we're celebrating one that was born in the manger. Not only would he grow up to be the Savior of the world, he already was. He already was the Messiah the day that he was born. It was the Messiah who was laid in that manger. He was already the Messiah from the moment that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb. I want you to remember what what Elizabeth said when Mary came to visit her. We very briefly looked at this a couple weeks ago. But after the announcement of the birth and Mary said, "Yes, may it be done to me as you have said," she decides to go visit her cousin Elizabeth because God offers her proof. Because her old cousin's pregnant. So she goes to visit Elizabeth, and as soon as she greets Elizabeth, Elizabeth says these words, "And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." The infant John the Baptist within Elizabeth's womb, and Elizabeth through him, or because of him, knew that the Lord of all the universe had come into their midst the moment they heard Mary's voice. God the Son was already there in Mary's womb. And when he was born on Christmas Day, he was already Lord, Savior, and Messiah. He was Emmanuel, God with us. You know, the ancient creeds of our faith were first put down on paper, and even before that were first shared orally so that we could remember the most important things about our faith. And in the face of the lie, the Arian lie, that Jesus was a creation just like you and me, he may have been the first creation, but Arius still thought he was a creation, which I love the story about my favorite saint of the church. You might have heard of him, Nicholas. He was a bishop. My favorite story about him is that when he heard Arius' lies, he walked across, and in front of the emperor and everyone else, he slapped Arius across the face. Not quite the thing that we picture when we hear about St. Nicholas. But in the face of this heresy that Jesus is a creation, the Athanasian Creed was written. And it says it this way: "He is God from the essence of the Father, begotten before time. And he is human from the essence of his mother, born in time." You hear that? God before time, human, born in time. Completely God, completely human, with a rational soul and human flesh. Equal to the Father as regards divinity, less than the Father as regards humanity. Which helps us with some of these odd things that we come up with in the scripture where we say Jesus is equal with the Father, but yet Jesus himself says he's less than the Father. Athanasius had that figured out. Equal to the Father as regards his divinity, less than the Father as regards humanity. Although he is God and human, yet Christ is not two, but one. He is one, however, not by his divinity being turned into flesh, but by God taking humanity to himself. He is one, certainly not by the blending of his essence, but by the unity of his person. For just as one human is both rational soul and flesh, so too the one Christ, both God and human. I know that's kind of high and lofty theology, especially for the morning. I want you to hear what this is saying. The miracle of the incarnation is something that only happened one time, and it was once for all. It was not a gradual process which gradually merged the divine and human. It was not something that happened at a later point in time. Nor was it something that lasted only for the short period that Jesus walked this earth. It was an instantaneous miracle that happened the moment in which Jesus Christ entered into Mary's womb. It was an instantaneous miracle that happened once in history and will never happen again. Just as human life is something that comes into being in an instant, not gradual, so also was the incarnation of Christ something that happened in an instant. conception to the Holy Spirit. Now, the fullness of the incarnation was not realized until the moment Christ was born in the stable. Just as even though we recognize the life of the child in the womb, we don't say that they were born until they're actually born. The fullness of who that baby is comes into realization at their birth. And the fullness of the incarnation was brought into realization at the moment that Christ was born in that stable, and the whole world could see the one who had come to save them from their sins. In verse 19 of Luke chapter 2, we are told Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought of them often. She knew the full truth of the incarnation, even if she did allow herself to forget it at a few times, just being a mother. We see her when Jesus was 12, and for a moment she's just that protective mother who's lost her son. And then she remembers, oh yeah, I know how we got here. We see that a few times in his ministry too, when she's like, Jesus, can I have a little bit of time alone with you, son? And he said, Mother, I have to be with all these people. She hadn't realized that she hadn't let go. We're told that she kept all these things in her heart and thought of them often, knowing the full truth of the incarnation, experiencing the reality of the incarnation within her very womb. Mary, more than anyone, was able to carry the message of the gospel in her heart always. There's an old Gaither vocal band song, which I love. Mary was the first one to carry the gospel. I love it too because it's got a little bit of a jazzy feel to it. I love that song. Mary was the first one to carry the gospel. And though we will never have the experience of carrying the incarnation inside our physical bodies, nor will we experience the physical birth of the incarnate Christ, still we are called to carry Christ in our hearts always. The message of Christmas is a message for all people. The message is one which is to be carried in our hearts and shared to all those who we meet. In Jesus, we find the love, hope, joy, and peace which comes from knowing Jesus Christ, the Lord of our lives. The everlasting love of God is one which will last forever. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all of creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This love, if carried in our hearts, will bring hope to every situation. For the scriptures say, we know that in all things God works together for the good of those who love Him and who are called according to His purpose. In this hope, in the hope of salvation, we can find true joy. Because no matter what happens in our lives, God is still there. God is still in control, and He still has a plan for our lives. And when we rest in this joy, in the hope of salvation, in Jesus Christ, and in His everlasting love, we can truly find peace in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And find that peace which surpasses all understandings. When we carry Jesus in our hearts, only then will we find deliverance from all those things which bind us. Only then will we find true deliverance from the chains of sin, guilt, regret, and the pain that comes from the consequences of our bad choices. I had a Sunday school teacher when I was growing up. she'd always remind us. From the very first Sunday school class I had with her to the last day that she was my Sunday school teacher, she'd always remind us and have us say along with her, choices have consequences. Those consequences can be good and they can be bad. But through Jesus, we can find deliverance from the pain of those bad consequences. Because when Christ sets you free, you are free indeed. Amen? In Christ, you can find true deliverance from which you will find true life with God. Tomorrow, the rest of the culture will move on from Christmas. Some people will have their Christmas trees down by the end of the day today, which I always think is crazy. At least wait till the day after Christmas. Most people will probably have their trees down by New Year's. And even if you celebrate the additional 12 days of Christmas, which I encourage you all to do, keep your trees up till Epiphany. By the second or third weeks of January, the trees will be gone, unless you're a procrastinator, and then it'll go up in a second of flame sometime in April. By the second or third weeks of January, the trees will be gone, the lights will be down, or at least turned off. Most of you will have your Christmas decorations packed tightly up in boxes in your garage or your basement or your attic. And you will have in the stores Valentine's decorations. Up before even many of us have our trees down, there will be Valentine's decorations. And the secular world will forget about anything related to Jesus until Easter rolls around and they pull out their bunnies and baskets. But as Christians, we are called not to forget the true message of Christmas. There's a well-known song by Larnell Harris which says, "All year long, all year long, we must worship day by day. All year long, 'tis the season to obey. May the Christmas tree lights and the sleigh ride at night remind us all to stay in God's presence all year long." All year long. While we may pack away our nativities and the baby in the manger, may we not pack away Jesus too. Rather, may we carry that precious child who was born in the manger in our hearts and treasure him always, all year long. May we treasure these things in our hearts and think on them often. May you carry Jesus with you from this place into your homes, into your families, back into your schools and workplaces when Christmas break is over. May you carry Jesus with you each and every day as you live in the love, joy, hope, and peace which comes from knowing him. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
May the Lord bless you and your families this Christmas day and every day as you carry Jesus with you.